Welcome to the Motherhood Simplified podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Lockwood, and on the surface, I teach you how to declutter your home so you can focus on what matters most to you as a mom, which I'm guessing isn't those laundry mountains, dishes stacked to the sky, and the tornadoes you clean up all day. My hope for this podcast is so much more than teaching you to declutter. I record all of my episodes live and in real time so that you can have the experience of a mom friend who gets you and is there for you. My audio isn't perfect, my kids might interrupt us, but the conversations we have are real, impactful, and proof that there are other moms like you that decluttering has worked for. If you want to join me and thousands of other moms for live episodes, go find us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search Motherhood Simplified and we'll welcome you with open arms. See you soon. All right, everybody, welcome to episode 61, where we are talking about what to do when you feel like the Katy Perry song, when she sings, "Do you ever feel like a plastic bag drifting through the wind, waiting to start again?" And you just feel like you have no routines, no direction. You feel like your relationships are lagging, your marriage might not be where it's at, your relationship with your kids might be strained, you know, things, you're just stuck. Okay, you're stuck in your thoughts, you're stuck in your days, and we're going to talk about how to get out. And I wanted to talk to you guys about this today because if you are a part of the group, and if you listen to the previous, any of the previous four episodes, we know, you know that we just finished up the Motherhood Simplified Challenge, which is a lot about this. It's figuring out like where your time is going, where the holes are, like where it's getting taken away from you, figuring out what your priorities are, simplifying your mindset, figuring out how to take action instead of just staying stuck. But I wanted to give you guys just kind of a recap of that challenge. And if you haven't done the challenge, go get into it. It's free. It's simple. It's to the point. It's really effective if you choose to do it. Okay. Reading it is not enough. Signing up for it is not enough. You have to actually do the stuff inside of it. Answer the questions that I ask you. Okay. No shortcuts. It will help you, but it's bit.ly/motherhoodsimplified. And I will put that in the written description so you can have a link you can just click on. It's easy to find. But go do that. Because it will help you with a lot of this. Now, I have four things that I want to talk to you about today. And these things, if you learn to do them, will help you get out of your rut at any point that you get into it. Hey, Christy, I'm glad you made it. I know Christy's in the challenge. I think it was Christy. She was like, "I signed up for all the challenges." Maybe it wasn't you, Christy. If I got it wrong, I'm sorry. But four things I want to talk to you about, like skills to master to help you get unstuck. Okay. To get unstuck, to get out of your rut. Hey, Bethany. Because I am no stranger to falling into a rut, but what my whole entire life used to be a rut, basically, is how I felt like every single day for years and years was a rut. And eventually I learned how to get myself out of it. Not saying that it's easy every time or enjoyable. Usually it's pretty uncomfortable and it sucks, but I have figured out how to get myself out. So these four things that we're going to talk about are going to be helpful for you to get yourself out of your rut too, because I can't get you out of your rut. Your husband can't get you out of your rut. Your friends can't get you out of your rut. Like, yes, they can support you and they can be there for you, but ultimately you have to be the one to dig yourself out. Okay. Hey, Beth. Bethany and Beth. Hello. Okay. So number one thing to learn how to do is to take care of yourself. Okay. You can't live a normal life. You can't nurture your kids, okay, because as mothers, we are nurturers, at least in some way. Maybe some of us identify naturally as a nurturer. I honestly don't. I'm like, I can nurture my kids,
but I'm not here to nurture the world. Which sounds weird because here I am like pouring into you guys. Maybe I am a nurturer. I guess I should get to know myself. But anyway, that got weird, which was kind of the point of this. But anyway, you have to figure out how to take care of yourself, because when you are depleted, you can't take care of anybody else. You honestly just can't. Especially as kids. Now, when it comes to taking care of yourself, this is the question that I want you to ask to figure out how to do it. Okay. So before you had kids, and I'm going to tell you this as somebody who got pregnant when she was 18. So I didn't have a pre-kid life really, but that doesn't mean I was dead. I was not existing. I was. But it's coming from somebody who didn't have an adult life. Like my adult life started raising kids. So anyway, one question you can ask yourself that I want you guys to ask yourself today is, how did I spend my time before I had kids? How did you spend your time? I know that's a really hard question to ask because most of us don't remember. Most of us don't know. Maybe some of us do really remember, but we feel like it's not something that we can do anymore because that's not the season of life we're in. But this is what I used to do. I asked myself this question today because I was trying to figure out, like, what can I give you guys something to actually do? And you guys know I'm never going to ask you to do something I haven't done myself or I'm not willing to do myself. But I asked myself this question before I had kids, when I was growing up, what did I do? And I grew up in Alaska. I would do things like go hike a mountain before school. Okay. Or I would lie to my dad and say I was spending the night at my friend's house and I would go hike a glacier and sleep on the glacier and then go to school. Okay. So that's something that I consistently did. I was outside and I was active and I would go to the gym. Like I was the weirdo girl in high school who would take my dad's gym membership and go work out by myself. Like I didn't need anybody to go with me. I just enjoyed physical activity. Like that's what I did. I played soccer. I painted and like would I didn't like paint on canvases because I didn't know at the time like you could actually paint on things that were real things. But I was the kid who was always like drawing on tables. And when I worked at our coffee shop, I was the one that was like scribbling on like scrap pieces of paper and hanging them up in the window. So those are the things that I did before I had kids that I really like to do. Be physically active and create. Sarah says spontaneously go hiking, drive a Wrangler, sleep in, eat out, rock climbing, stay out late. Yes, exactly. So those are the things that you have to ask yourself, and you're probably going to have to think pretty hard about it and be like, okay, well, another thing I liked to do was like Sarah, I liked to go out and have a good time with my friends. And I used to like to go camping. My kids are in the room, guys. So I'm keeping this private enough so that you guys pick up what I'm putting down. Okay. But I used to like to go camping with my friends on the weekends and stay up way too late and get too loud and listen to music and do all those things, right? And run around in the woods, build fires. Like that's what I liked to do. And it was a really fun question to ask myself today because those are things that I can still do. I can still do those things. It's not going to, Sarah. Yes, exactly. I'm not going to say that out loud because, like I said, everybody's here. But they're all like doing coloring stuff on the floor. But I can still do those things. It's going to look differently because I'm a mom now. But I can take my kids camping. We can go hiking. We can go have a beach day. Like we can paint together. I can buy canvases. I can teach them to be physically active. I can take them for walks. I can save up our money for years and years to buy a home gym so that we can work out together in our home, right? Like I can watch YouTube videos and do things in the living room with them. But those are the things that I really like. I know not everybody loves that like I do. Some people don't want to do that. And that's okay. I'm just giving you an example of like when I look back on the things I did as a kid growing up, that was it. That was what I loved to do. That was where I found myself often. And when I had free time, that's where I would go. I would also do things like go to coffee shops and just buy pretty, pretty drinks, you know, like try different flavors. And I still do that, guys, like this. I am a sucker for any kind of pretty looking bottle, exotic looking flavor. $3, this is embarrassing to admit because, you know, we talk about decluttering and how it saves your money habits all the time. But my husband makes fun of me all the time because I'll come home with the weirdest shaped water bottles that are like $3 a bottle. And he's like, was it worth it? And I'm like, well, it was a pretty bottle and it made me happy. So yes, it was worth it. Even though I have perfectly good water here, I don't know what my problem is, guys. I just really like pretty drinks. Hey, Emily, I'm glad you made it. That's why I drink mushroom coffee, because I saw it one day and was like, oh my God, mushroom coffee. What is this? I would love to have this. And now I love it. Anyway, those are the things that I've always done as a kid that I just, for whatever reason, in my bones, I love it. Makes me happy. So I figure out ways that I can still do it. Okay. So ask yourself that question. How did you spend your time before you had kids? Okay. Like I said, it's a hard question to ask because we don't remember most of the time, but you weren't dead. Okay. You were existing. You did do things. So figure out what those things were. Number two, four, getting yourself unstuck is getting yourself some strong. Oh, wait, I just saw something. Shamra says you're an encourager, leader, not so much a nurturer, in my opinion. Okay, that's a good distinction because I was like, I feel like I'm something. I feel like I'm giving you guys something, but it's not really nurturing. Sorry, guys. I'm not mean. That's a good way of putting it, Sharon. Okay. Anyway, getting a routine in. Okay. And a lot of times people are resistant to routines. Oh, okay. So we're going to talk about this real quick because Janelle says she loved sports. Me too. And there are adult leagues for sports. My husband and I, on and off, have played women's soccer together. Wait, no, he didn't play women's soccer with me. We played co-ed soccer together. I've played women's soccer. He's played men's soccer, men's basketball, men's flag football. And I think sometimes we think that just because we're adults, we can't do those things anymore. But you can. You can. There's kickball leagues, softball, basketball, soccer. It's just a matter of you finding it. And if it's not around you, coordinating it and making it. Okay. So anyway, I just wanted to touch on that because that's something that I really have a lot of fun with is adult sports. Okay. So getting to routines. Number two, the number two thing you can do, create a routine for yourself. They're not restrictive. They free you up. They are, what are my notes saying? I can't even read my notes, guys. I don't know what that says. I don't know what my notes said. But anyways, a lot of times people are resistant to them or say that they don't work for them because they don't want to be restricted. They like to have freedom. They like to fly by the seat of their pants. But the thing about routines is that if you implement them in the right areas of your life, they give you freedom. Okay, so as moms, think about like the most frustrating parts of your days. For me, back before I figured out that I needed routines in my life, mornings were the most frustrating thing because they were chaotic. Mornings were chaotic, especially when I was working full time. We never had enough time to make breakfast at home. I would wake up and to a disaster of a house, never had clean laundry, didn't know where the kids' stuff was. And so my problem was in the morning. That's where I struggled. And you would think that I would have made a morning routine, but I realized that the problem wasn't the morning. The problem was the way that we were ending our days. I was not setting my morning up for success. So I started doing a nightly routine, which you guys know as the nightly reset, which means I just go through my house and put everything back where it goes, finish up any loose dishes, take any clothes that were in the washer and dryer out, put them away, set things up for the next day so that I'm not waking up to chaos. Okay. So when you're implementing routines, they are not meant to be restrictive. They are not meant to be at 10:30 every day. I work out at 10 55, I start a little laundry. At 12 o'clock noon, we eat lunch, right? Like, that's not what it is. It's just these habits and these little things that you do that make your day easy so that you can do all of those things that you want to do, so that you can have the freedom that you're seeking. Okay. And you're not going to implement a routine or multiple routines or the perfect 24-hour cycling routine in a day. It's going to take time. You're going to have to do it a little bit at a time, one thing at a time, focus on one area at a time. Otherwise, you're just going to crash and burn. You're going to get burnt out. You're going to be like, you're going to be like really excited the first 3 days that you're like, man, our days are going so well. I'm like, boom, 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 got all these things done, staying on the clock. And then you're going to burn out because it's not sustainable. Like, you have to ease into your routines. And the best way you can do that is just by asking yourself, like, what's the most frustrating part of my day? What can I do to streamline this and master it, and then add something else to it? Okay. Now, the third thing that you can do that, well, not that you can do, that you really need to learn how to do in order to be able to get yourself unstuck is mastering your thoughts. Okay. We talked about a lot about this in the challenge, in the Motherhood Simplified Challenge. So if you have not done that yet, go sign up for it. You can do it on your own. We did it as a group together. It's over now. That's okay. You can do it on your own. But we talk a lot about that in the Motherhood Simplified Challenge. Mastering your thoughts, okay? Pay attention to what you say, to what you think, and what you engage in. Not only to yourself, but to your kids, to your spouse, to your friends on social media. Okay, a lot of times people are stuck in these extremely negative thought cycles and they don't even realize it, where they are basically just telling themselves every single day how much they suck, how much they can't do, how hard everything is for them, how they're never going to figure it out. And if you keep telling yourself that, either consciously or by default, those are the things that are going to keep happening for you. So you have to figure out how to intentionally flip your thoughts around and tell yourself different things. And one of the ways that you can do this is if the things that you are saying to yourself or, Christy, guys, when the comments come through, they're really delayed. And sometimes I get like a bunch at once, but Christy said one right now. I'm not picking on you, Christy, but this is a good example. So she says, I really need routines. I'm so bad at sticking to them. If you keep telling yourself you're so bad at sticking to them, you're going to continue to be so bad at sticking to them. Okay. And think about it this way. Like, would you tell your friend, like, you really need a routine because you're so bad at sticking to them, or you really need a routine, you're so bad at sticking to them? You wouldn't tell your friend that. You wouldn't tell your kids that, right? So just think about it in that way. Like, would you be saying the things that you're saying to yourself, to your kids, to your friends, to your spouse, to your coworkers, right? Likely you would not, okay? You likely would not say things like that to them. And I think sometimes we might and we do, but I think it's also important to be mindful of those things that we're saying to people too. And important to be mindful of what we're consuming on social media. There's a lot of things that, you know, we share around and we post in good fun, in lighthearted spirit, or whatever you want to call it, but it is pretty damaging. Like, I can't think of any, but you know, like when people are like, oh, mom life is hard life, or I was going to do the laundry, but what's the point if people are going to be living here anyway, right? Like, it's fun to laugh about it and it's good to go into it with a light heart, but it's not fun or okay to keep telling yourselves these things when you're really struggling with it, right? It's like you laugh about it so that you're not crying about it, and eventually you're balled up in a corner crying about it and you want out. You don't want to have to joke about it anymore. You want some relief. You want to get out of that cycle of like, what's the point of even trying, right? Because that's how stuck I am. So you got to figure out how to master your thoughts. Pay attention to what you're saying to yourself, to your kids, to your spouse. I have an episode on perfectionism and letting go of the labels that you put on yourself, because that's another thing. Emily is saying a perfectionist, and when you put those labels on yourself, all you can do is live up to the label that you've given yourself. Same thing with kids. I know not everybody agrees. I know there are diagnoses that need to be made sometimes, but like if I tell my kids, you're a perfectionist and you have ADHD, this is just the way you are, guess what? They have no support or incentive to change or try and get past it or figure out ways to cope and figure out what they need for themselves. I'm saying this as a recovering perfectionist, okay, recovering child of abuse and trauma. And I literally would, I told my husband when I met him, when we were just friends, this is just how I am. I'm a child of trauma. This is who I'm going to be. And he was like, I don't think so. Like, I see way more in you than that to let you tell yourself that. And I could have stayed, I could have said, yeah, I grew up like that. I'm a child of trauma. This is who I am. And I will never change. I'm going to have these struggles for the rest of my life. Or I could have identified as something else and changed my story. So like I said, I know not everybody agrees with that, but the labels that you put on yourself are really powerful. And they can help you or they can hinder you. So try and give yourself ones that will help you, not hinder you. Okay. And like I said, I have an episode on perfectionism, that covers, it covers like a blanket of those. You both should like me and my hubby. okay. So the next and final thing that you've got to master, is this is a hard one. It kind of ties back to number one, but you got to know who you are and you have to know where you're going. Now, if you guys saw the picture that I posted, right before we went live, it was a picture of Ed Helms from The Office, but I don't even know his name in The Office because I don't watch The Office, but, his face is all like awkward. And the caption says, the caption says something along the lines of, when I introduce my kids to someone new and they start doing that weird thing that they do. And I crossed out the kid part and was like, when I meet someone new and I introduce myself and I start doing that weird thing that I do, okay, you have to try things to get to know yourself. You have to be unafraid to look stupid, to look weird, to maybe do things that people might judge you for, to do things that might make your family a little bit like, what the heck is mom doing? Or maybe your spouse, like, oh my God, what is she doing? But you have to try things. Okay. You have to be bold and put yourself out there because nobody else is going to do it for you. I mean, Emily, I'm going to come back to your comments in a minute, but, like my husband would support me in things. He would be like, hey, going to watch the kids so that you can go do what you need to do. But he wouldn't be like, so I think you need to do therapy. So I'm going to watch the kids and reach out to a therapist and figure out who's a good fit for you and then take you to your appointment and do all the talking for you. He just supported me. He said, I got this part of life so that you can go do that and figure it out for yourself. Okay. Because you have to know that you're worth it and that nobody else is going to do this for you. Nobody else is going to get you unstuck. Nobody else is going to swoop in and save you. Yes, you might be blessed to have people who will surround you and support you and encourage you, which is what I hope I can offer you in some sort of way, like support, encouragement, a kick in the pants to be like, go do this for yourself because you deserve it and you're worth it. But ultimately, you got to do it for yourself. Right. And you have to know that you can figure out who you are and you have to figure out where you are going and stop putting the blame on everybody else. Stop putting the blame on your labels that you give yourself or your diagnosis or your circumstances or whatever and be like, it doesn't matter. This is what I have to work with. So this is what I'm going to do. Right. Kind of wrapping back around to day one of the Motherhood Simplified Challenge, where we talked about getting out of victim mode and stop telling yourself, I can't do this, because honestly, you can't. Like, what other choice do you have? What other choice do you have? You got to do it. something, anything. Okay. Emily says, speak life is something I preach, but practice is what I'm working on. Yes. And it starts with preaching it. Honestly, it starts with preaching it, saying it, thinking about it. Then you start to believe it. Then you start to convince yourself, oh my gosh, this could work for me too. And then you start doing it, and that's exactly how it starts. So don't feel badly about that. That is exactly how it starts. You're doing it right. Okay. Hey, Lanita. I'm getting out of breath. Stop excusing. Use it. I called my husband a perfectionist for years, the last 13 and a half. And a few months ago, I realized it was me. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That is so true. And that is something that I teach you guys. Like, it's when I see so many people coming in, and it's common, but they're like, I can't declutter because of my husband. I can't declutter because of my kids. I can't declutter because of my in-laws or my friends or my job or my family's, you know, I come from a long line of hoarders. I can't do it. And then eventually, like, hopefully with everything that I speak to you and tell you, I hope that you come to the realization that yes, you can. And all of those things that you're saying about everybody else are 99.9% of the time what you're saying about yourself. Okay. Hard truth. I know it, but it's something that, like, the last few years, two or so years, I have tried to accept. And my husband is the one who taught me, and we both take blame for everything. It's not take blame. It's taking ownership of everything that's going right or wrong in our life. And it's actually really empowering. Like, when him and I are having a disagreement, I don't come at him and, like, rip his head off anymore. It's like, okay, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm dealing with. And he's like, and this is where I'm at. And this is what I'm dealing with. And then we can figure it out, instead of being like, well, you never do this and you always do that and it's your fault and blah, blah, blah. Right. Anyway. So to wrap this up, guys, because this is a recap of the Motherhood Simplified Challenge. And a lot of you guys know that starting on Monday, I'm actually pushing it to Tuesday, guys, because we changed plans and my stepson is staying with us an extra day. So I'm going to start out pushing it to Tuesday, July 16th. I am doing a group coaching session for Motherhood Simplified, the course, which walks you through every teeny tiny detail of how to actually do this in your life, how to take ownership of your life, your motherhood, your mom role, your mindset, your relationships, your routines, your habits, your physical health, figuring out yourself outside of a mom. Like, everything is included in this course. And I'm doing a group coaching session. In the group coaching session, what is included are, it goes on for 2 weeks. So you get three emails a week from me walking you through the course, saying, go listen to this, go listen to this, go do this homework, go do this. We recap on Friday for a live call. Send me your questions. Let me know where you're stuck. I'm going to walk you through and answer all of your questions about your life. And then, the next day I recap it, send out the replay for anybody who couldn't make it live. But I walk you through the whole course and get you through it. It's super powerful. It's a really great course, definitely the best and most thorough course I think you can find for your mom life, and one that will apply to all areas of your life and something that you can use with you for your entire season of motherhood. Emily, I know this is your first episode. This was the first one to come on. Or a good one to come onto, but that's what that is. Okay, so if you want to get into that, I'm only taking 30 moms for this round because I want to be able to pay attention to you guys. I want to be able to pour into you guys. I want to, like Shamra said, I'm glad that she typed that out because I couldn't figure out what I should call myself. But I want to encourage you. I want to support you. I want to lead you through this so that you can figure out how to do this for yourself. Okay. There's nothing empowering about somebody coming in and doing it for you. There's nothing empowering about being a victim and just waiting for someone to save you. Hey, Shaylee, I'm glad you made it. We're about to hang up. because I think I can hear Kaylee waking up. But anyway, if you want to get into that, motherhoodsimplified.com/MS, or you can send me a message, or you can send me an email, or you can find me on Instagram, or you can post in the group. There's so many ways to get a hold of me. I'm pretty accessible. And I hope to see you guys in that course. If you've been thinking about it, stop thinking, start doing, like challenge day 4. And I can't hear Kaylee, so I'm going to go get her and I will talk to you guys later. Bye. Hey friend, did you love this episode? If you did, I would love if you took a screenshot of it and shared it with somebody else. Okay, the whole point of this is to create a community of moms who get each other, who support each other, and who, when they find something that helps them, they share it with somebody. So I would love if you shared this podcast with somebody, with maybe just a little note about how it helped you or how it inspired you, so that it can help somebody else. I would also love it if you left me a review. Leaving a review lets me get better stats on the internet and blah, blah, blah. Basically, it helps me help more moms like you. I would so appreciate it. If you hated this episode, I'm sorry, but I'm also kind of impressed that you listened to it all and you're still listening. So still leave me a review, still share it, because I'm sure somebody can benefit from it. I'll see you guys on the next episode.